Hello, Mr. and Mrs. Brookings Harbor and all the fishing boats at sea. I'm Cousin Bruce Ellis.
And I'm Kat Temple.
And this is the Insider Report.
So let your ears do the walking as we fill you in on what's going on in the Brookings Harbor area and beyond.
Well, hello, 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 and welcome to this week's show that keeps you in the know. Hello, Kat.
Hello, Bruce. How was your weekend?
Hey, it was pretty good, you know, just hung out. I had a junior over. I was paper week last week, deadline week, so yeah. Of course I'm cramming everything, get all the information that's got to go in there, so that's my job. But I was just doing that, and then I had my grandson was over, a little prince was over there hanging out for Friday and Saturday. And as I was telling you, you know, before we got going here, yeah, it was kind of close there. That calmeopsis thing last week was his first full week of school, kindergarten and everything, and he just wasn't feeling good on Wednesday of a stomach. He threw up, actually, just had a little upset stomach.
Yeah.
And so my daughter, you know, said, hey, you know, we better call and tell him that, you know, and they said, go ahead and keep him home the next 2 days. And then guess what happens? You know, then all of a sudden they got hit with the kindergarten class, somebody got that COVID in there and everything like that. So, I hope everything works out all right for that. But that was a close one, you know what I mean? This day and age and everything. My daughter's sick, you know, and everything like that. So it really would have been bad news for him to get that and then her take it home to her and everything. So that was a close one.
And right. And it should be noted, too, the school district did release a statement about that, and it is available on their website for anybody who may be affected by that who is looking for more information. So keep that in mind. They can go to the school district website.
Yeah, they called my daughter because I guess, you know, because he was in there. But I did see that. There is, they've got a whole thing. You can read all about it and everything. So, yeah. And just, prayers go out to those affected and everything by that. And I just hope that everything goes well in that area.
Definitely.
But, but that was it. I just hung out this weekend. And, did you do anything exciting?
Well, I was just happy that the smoke's been slowly but steadily clearing out. So me and Jason went hiking up around the Big Butte at the Harris Beach State Park and went around and explored the outdoors for a little bit on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we finally made it after like a two-week break because it was just too smoky out to go to the track and go for a run. And that felt amazing to be able to do that.
Oh, well, yeah, we had that little bit of rain that came down and kind of cleaned everything up. That was nice to breathe that day. You could just tell the difference the minute it started raining. And then when we had those storms overnight, it was just cleaned the place. That was helpful.
Yeah,
big time.
No,
and for the fires, too, I'll guarantee. So, yeah.
Breathing easy. Yeah. Or a little bit easier. We'll see.
Like I said, boy, that's rough last few weeks, that's for sure, you know, everything going down at once and everything. But it's been a wild year anyways. Everybody going to say that. I mean, I just laugh at the Facebook things where they say if 2020 was a song or if 20, you know,
there's so, one thing after the other.
One thing after the other,
For sure.
So, we better get on with the show here. Before we get going, I'd like to thank Trike City Dispensary and the Oregon South Coast Fishermen, otherwise known as the Castaways, for sponsoring the Insider Report. And if you'd like to have your business or yourself sponsor one of our fine shows, all you got to do is go to kciw.org and you can be on your way. All right, well, hey, now it's time for Cat's Corner with Catlin Temple.
Before I begin, a listener note. This week's book review discusses matters of sexual violence and may not be suitable for all listeners. If that is the case for you, you may wish to turn the dial for the next 5 minutes or so. This week in Cat's Corner, I'm reviewing a new nonfiction title by Michelle Bodler. It is called Is Rape a Crime? A Memoir, an Investigation, a Manifesto. Let me say first, I was initially hesitant to dedicate a review to a work like this. The title is inflammatory, the subject matter heavy. But after a period of reflection, both as an amateur arts and culture critic and as a survivor of sexual assault, I feel that a review isn't just warranted, it is necessary. The book's lengthy title serves both as an accurate summary of its contents and as a way to manage readers' expectations from the get-go. The first section is Bodler's personal memoir, detailing her memories of her own violent assault in her 20s, her indifferent treatment by 1970s Boston law enforcement, and the lifetime she spent struggling to recover the many things she lost over the course of a single night. Her peace of mind, her sense of her place in the world, and her comfort in her own skin. It should be noted, Bodler's book is not a gaudy true crime tale. While Bodler spares no details in the handful of pages devoted to discussing the attack itself, the bulk of the memoir centers squarely on the after of the event. Her brief experiences with law enforcement, the long-term impact of the trauma on her career and educational prospects, and the strain it placed on relationships with her family and friends as she struggled to seek support, and they struggled to figure out how best to support her. Bodler's intent is never to sensationalize her attack, but to draw attention to the fact that the impacts of rape extend far beyond the night of the offense and affect the lives of not just the victim, but of their loved ones as well. Decades later, Michelle discovered by way of a newspaper article about backlogged rape kits that the evidence from her own forensic exam may never have been tested. The second part of the book, The Investigation, recounts her search for answers about what happened to that evidence and diving into the network of survivors that are currently advocating for policies and funding that will end the backlog of untested rape kits in the nation. The third part is a manifesto, a call to action for activists, lawyers, law enforcement officers, and us, the readers, to take the steps needed to change our laws and culture in order to treat rape like the felony it is. Let me be clear. When I turned the final page on this book, I wanted to review it. It was well written, well researched, and touches on a cultural problem we still feel so far away from solving for good. There is a deep cultural stigma, though, in talking about rape openly and frankly. As Bodler points out, the very fact that the majority of rape victims fail to report their assault to law enforcement because they fear not being believed, or that nothing will ever be done about their report, merits the attention-grabbing question on the cover of the book. And yet I grappled with the decision for nearly 2 weeks, effectively self-censoring myself because I worried about the upsetting nature of the subject matter. This visceral reaction to avoid talking about such a common type of violence, to treat it as something that is unspeakable, tells me that we still have a long way to go in terms of treating rape like the violent crime it is. As Bodler writes in the introduction to Is Rape a Crime? We need to consider the role we play in dismissing the experiences of victims of sexual violence. This collusion by omission occurs in large measure to protect our own vulnerability. What we accept as a normal response to sexual violence is anything but. We must make space for each individual story, creating a larger mosaic of what has emerged as an all too common experience. The delegitimization of rape as a crime. Only then can we begin to change how rape is addressed in our society. I got news this weekend that Is Rape a Crime is being considered for the National Book Award in Nonfiction. Bodler has caught the attention of critics and literary scholars alike, and for good reason. Is Rape a Crime is a painful book, but it's also a necessary one. And it isn't just deserving of our attention, it demands it. Is Rape a Crime is available wherever books are borrowed and sold.
Well, thank you, Kat. And that's it right there. Getting the word out and communication is key into solving, you know, issues like that that are being put aside, you know, and they don't need to be. They need to be addressed and taken care of. And that it's like, well, stuff like that book and, like I said, communicating. And,
Yep. Can't be ignored. Right, I do want to touch, I don't want to end on a completely, terrible note here. There is an organization that exists that has been advocating for and track the state of backlogged rape kits in the country, state by state and city by city in the case of large cities. And it's an initiative called End the Backlog. And people can find out more about that on endthebacklog.org. And I did just want to share some news, I guess, like on a local level that's worth celebrating, is that when you look on there on that state-by-state thing, Oregon used to have a backlog of 4,000 or 5,000 rape kits a few years ago. And after the effort of advocates for ending that backlog, Oregon did take legislative steps to address it. And so it's one of a handful of states that actually has managed to clear its rape kit backlog. So that is definitely something we're celebrating on a local level.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Very good.
Just wanted to share that hopeful note as well. It is possible.
That's great. Thank you. All right. Hey, and before we get on with the show, I just want to say that due to the circumstances, events are subject to canceling and or following the guidelines required, such as masks and social distancing.
And we have here from the Checo Pelican Players, they are still currently presenting William Shakespeare's Macbeth, an audio drama. And this is available for listening as a podcast exclusively on kciw.org. For more information about that, you can visit their website or call 541-661-4098.
Yeah, and the Tortuga Mexican Bar and Grill at Turtle Rock Resort in Gold Beach is presenting the Italian Guys. This is happening every Friday night through the summer, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then on Saturdays, it's David himself and Eric Feliciano from 5 to 7. Reservations are recommended.
And now it's time for Funny Stuff with Cousin Bruce.
Yeah, hey, here's some good stuff from Tim Allen. He says, my mom said the only reason men are alive is for lawn care and vehicle maintenance. He said, my wife is impossible. It is only safe to wake her from a distance, like Portugal. He goes, I got myself a snack of low-sodium, low-fat Triscuits. If they were any lower in anything else, the box would be empty. And he goes, women are like cars. We all want a Ferrari, sometimes want a pickup truck, and end up with a station wagon. So, there you go. Hope you enjoyed this week's funny stuff from Tim Allen with Cousin Bruce. Till next week, keep smiling.
All right. And the Brookings Elks Lodge is currently presenting Bingo. They're hosting this every Friday in the month of September from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Yeah, and then Tiger Lily meow, is playing on Wednesdays at Zola's on the Water from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. And on Sundays, he's at Golden Harvest in Port Orford from 11:30 a.m. to 2 p.m.
And we have an announcement here from the Curry Health Network. Online screening and registration for COVID-19 testing is now available. You can now be screened online via your computer, smartphone, or tablet by answering a few simple questions to see if you're eligible to receive a COVID-19 test from Curry Health Network. If you are eligible, the registration process is also completed online, without the need for a telehealth or in-person visit with a provider to receive an order. You can visit www.curryhealthnetwork.com/COVID to begin the screening and registration process.
All right. Yeah, and the Del Norte County Animal Shelter, Dogs of Del Norte County wish list. It's that time of year again, and they're starting to prepare the outdoor kennels for the coming wind and rain. Getting outside time for all the dogs is really important to their quality of life, and they are short tarps and need a few specific sizes so they can get the kennels ready. They're looking for 8x10s, 10x12s, 12x20s, and they request heavy-duty tarps work the best, because the other tarps, they wear out within a few months because of such the wind out there, so crazy. They also appreciate donations of zip ties to help secure the tarps. If you have any questions about the outdoor kennel program or other ways you can support the shelter, give them a call at 707-464-7235.
And now it's time for a bit of weird history with Bushwhacker Bruce.
Right, good day, Cat. Good day, mates. Bushwhacker Bruce here, and welcome to this week's bit of weird history for your knowledge pleasure. Here's a few more interesting tidbits about some of our presidents that you might not have known. For instance, Richard Nixon was an accomplished musician. Yes, the 37th president of the United States, and the only president to resign from office, actually was an extremely talented musician. He played 5 instruments in total: the piano, the saxophone, clarinet, accordion, and violin. Did you know Lyndon B. Johnson conducted business in the bathroom? It's true. For the lack of a better word, the unapologetic president gave interviews while using the toilet. Presidential biographer describes that he just didn't want the conversation to stop. And did you know Abraham Lincoln once owned a bar? Besides being a wrestling champ, Lincoln was also a licensed bartender. In 1833, the 16th president opened up a bar called Barry and Lincoln with his friend William F. Barry in New Salem, Illinois. The shop was eventually closed when Barry, an alcoholic, consumed most of the shop's supply. All right, and did you know George Washington's face wasn't on the first dollar bill? The first president was not the first face of the $1 bill. The first face to appear on this currency was Salmon P. Chase. The first dollar bill was issued during the Civil War in 1862. Chase was a Secretary of Treasury at that time and was also the designer of the country's first banknotes. Here's another one from the first president. George Washington never had wooden teeth. Many myths about Washington exist, but one of the most prevalent stories has to be about his teeth. It's widely believed that Washington wore wooden dentures. This is not the case at all. While Washington did have numerous dental problems and did use dentures, wood as a material was never used. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's Big Wheel History about our Commander-in-Chiefs with yours truly, Bushwhacker Bruce. Until next time, keep it real, but always keep it weird. Yeah, I believe I was seeing something on, I think I saw it on Pawn Stars or something. They were talking about it, and the teeth were like hinged, you know, with metal and stuff, and uncomfortable as all get out.
Oh, so they opened only imagine.
For him, and he had to use his jaw. Oh, man. I mean, yeah, that's some rough stuff back then.
Like, looking at that thinking about that portrait of him on the dollar bill, like, there is a certain, like, I get a sense of discomfort in his face.
They said it was puffed out because, you know,
I can just imagine trying to keep those in all day long. That's crazy.
And his wife owned a candy factory. What are you going to do?
Nice. All right, SWOC is offering free GED and Adult Basic Education fall courses. These classes prepare individuals to take the GED exam and update skills to enroll in college or career training programs. Students enrolled in these classes can build a pipeline to enter college, training programs, and jobs in high-demand career areas. GED and Adult Basic Education classes will meet live online via Zoom on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Day classes meet from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. or from noon to 2 p.m. Night classes meet from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. Fall term started September 14th. It will end November 25th, 2020. For more information or to register for orientation and classes, you can email Adult and Pre-College Education at llcinfo@socc.edu.
All right. Yeah, and the Brookings Harbor Farmers Market is going on. Market hours are from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. rain or shine on Wednesdays and Saturdays year-round. We look forward to more vendors as the season progresses. They also take food stamps, and during the summer, they're open on Friday nights from 3 to 7 with beer and hot food. Well, there you go.
And there are Barbecue Fridays happening at the Elk Valley Casino in Crescent City. Every week, they will be barbecuing up a meal for your enjoyment. They have outdoor seating available, or you can take it to go. This event occurs from 1 to 8 p.m., weather permitting.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and Just the Jeweler has an Invicta watch giveaway. All right, and I've seen this thing on Facebook, too. That's a good-looking watch.
All right.
He's giving it away on October 17th, 2020, at noon. So you can come any business day to Just the Jeweler, located at 15957 Highway 101, Unit 6 in Harbor, Oregon. It's right next to Harbor Hydro there in the Maddie's Shopping Center there, where Maddie's is at. And you can fill out a form for your chance to win. There you go.
And the Curry Public Library in Gold Beach is handing out Friday Family Fun Packs on the 25th of September from 12 to 5 p.m. They are bringing back Family Fridays. Each theme pack comes with a board game, books, and DVDs to borrow, as well as a frozen pizza, root beer, and popcorn to keep. You can come to the library between 12 p.m. and 5 p.m. on the fourth Friday of every month to check out a pack for your family.
Yeah, I'm not sure if they're carrying that into October or not. I haven't seen anything yet, but that sounds good. Really cool, especially in this day and age.
When you think about library materials, like, don't forget, like, of course, you don't have to return the pizza, the root beer, and the popcorn.
That's right.
I just figure, like, a little
they
PSA
prefer you
there.
Don't, yeah, I'm sure.
Please, you know, maybe return the movies, but feel free to eat the pizza.
Exactly. Hey, they got a Rise Up Truck Rally and Cruise going to be happening here September 26th at 9:30 a.m. at the Port of Brookings Harbor. Outfit your rig, truck, vehicle, or motorcycle with your favorite American flag or other flag types. You can meet up at 9:30 a.m. at the Harbor Basin. 10 a.m. is the start time. They want a peaceful and orderly rally because they have rules here, and they say obey the police and all laws, of course. Don't block traffic. Stay in the right lane and maintain 20 feet between the vehicle in front of you in town and 30 feet on the highway. And the last rule is be smart. There you go.
Always good to keep in mind.
Yeah, it's always good.
And there is a new residence meet and greet happening at the Star Lounge on the 29th of September. This is from 6 to 9 p.m. This is another new residence meetup at the Star Lounge. You can connect with others who call Brookings home, share where you've moved from, what you do, and what your move has been like. You can also discover new places and faces. And it says here, find out about the many groups and activities available on the Oregon coast. There are free goodie bags for the first 30 new residents. Everyone 21 and up is welcome. This is for couples, singles, and it's in a relaxed setting.
And you got to be 21.
Well, it is the Star Lounge. They are an alcohol serving establishment.
I think
that might be why.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do they let anybody? You have to be 21 for that, right?
I thought so because they got the restaurant on the other. A licensed bar in Oregon, Pacific Sushi. Yeah, and all ages can enter, but on the other side.
Yeah, I got you. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. So you have to wave from the corner if you're under 21.
Like I'm new.
Hey, how you doing? Mm-hmm. Hey, okay. Well, they got signups for Solves, the annual beach and riverside cleanup. Solve is inviting Oregonians to volunteer/join in on the cleanup. Registration is now open for the annual beach and riverside cleanup, happening from Saturday, September 19th through Sunday, October 4th. This statewide volunteer event includes beach cleanups, inland cleanups, and habitat restoration events, all of which keep Oregon's watersheds clean and healthy. Since 1984, more than 140,000 Oregonians have participated in this statewide event, collecting over 900 tons of litter and debris. This longstanding Oregon tradition has seen renewed excitement each year, reflecting how important taking care of the environment is to Oregonians. The beach and riverside cleanup, along with all Solve events, requires all volunteers and volunteer leaders to adhere to safety guidelines. These guidelines include wearing a face mask covering at the event, maintaining social distancing, and providing only sanitized tools, among other measures. Even with safety guidelines in place, Solve volunteers have still proven motivated to keep Oregon clean. To sign up for the beach and riverside cleanup or to lead a project of your own, you can visit solveoregon.org. Volunteers are welcome to browse the list of projects and sign up for a project near them.
And an announcement from the Backstreet Bar in Brookings. They have free pool going on Saturday nights.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then the Crescent City Del Norte has Sea Cruises coming up here in October, the Sea Cruise Classic Car Show. It's located at 285 L Street in Crescent City. It's happening on October 9th, 8 p.m., and on the 10th at 6:30 p.m. Sea Cruise is a gathering of classic car busts with a day of judging, food, and marketplace vendors, and live music, and a sanctioned cruise downtown. The Crescent City Del Norte County Chamber of Commerce and the Northern Knights Car Club are partnering again to bring the streets alive during this weekend with loud motors and bright chrome.
All right.
Vroom, vroom.
Vroom, vroom. And the Checo Library has a list of upcoming October events. They are having a circus of creepy films for the entire month of October. The Checo Library will be encouraging patrons to check out horror films and turn in an entry slip telling us what the movie they watched and if they enjoyed it. At the end of the month, three entries will be drawn to win one of the three prize boxes filled with candy, horror movies, and recent horror novel hits. And then on the 10th of October, they have a DIY Halloween chalkboard craft bag giveaway. The Checo Library will be providing another round of craft bags. This month will be Halloween-themed DIY chalkboards with pumpkin or ghost-shaped boards to work with. Each craft bag will come with all the supplies needed and instructions. And then on the 30th of October, they are doing a digital film showing of the film Nosferatu. The Checo Library will be showing the 1929 silent film classic Nosferatu on its Facebook page at 4 p.m. This is the day before Halloween to get everyone in the creepy mood. This film is rated PG.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that one a couple times.
That's
it's a good,
classic.
That's a freaky
that
movie.
Coffin opening up.
Oh, but when he just pops straight up,
yeah.
You know.
I know,
that was what that was. Pretty wild.
Good stuff.
Yeah, good stuff. Exactly. Hey, the Wild Mushrooms of Coastal Oregon has an online event coming up. This is hosted by Curry County Library District. October 22nd from 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m., local mushroom superfan Kathleen Dixon shares her years of experience in identifying and harvesting wild mushrooms with the latest knowledge of how mushrooms can save the world. Well, there you go. RSVP to receive a Zoom link via email at www.currypubliclibrary.org/wildmushrooms.
All right. Mm-hmm. I was going to say, that's a classic event. It seems like every fall she goes around, and definitely the season for mushroom picking
she
now.
She is the mushroom queen. Yes, she is. Yes, she knows everything about mushrooms and that you're afraid to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, here we go. At the end of the show, we're going to give a shout out to support local business.
Yep. We are shouting out for the 101 Bar and Grill, Cazadores Mexican Restaurant, and Cozy Critter in Groomers.
Yeah. And then, of course, we got to give a shout out to Checo Automotive, Beachfront Bistro, and South Coast Dispensaries. Mm. Hey, remember to shop local, everybody. We like to bring this just a reminder out there of what shops are open right now. So each week we'll be doing about six of them. It works out just fine that way.
We'll keep it going.
We'll keep it going. And hopefully we'll just get more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. Well, hey, that's it. We is done. I want to give a shout out to our fearless producers, Rose Weiss, who is not here in the studio, but she's here in spirit, and Ray Gary for all their great work making us look and sound good on the radio. And that's it. We got no more. I want to thank you all for tuning into this week's Insider Report. Make sure and check out all the other great shows on the station that has the pulse of Brookings Harbor and beyond. KCIW LP 100.7 FM. And tune into the Magical Musical History Tour this week as I set the spotlight on Macy Gray. Oh, that's a good, I love her voice. That's,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just great. It's
gorgeous
good stuff.
Voice.
Oh, yeah, good stuff. See schedule for days and times and check out the other great programs, including the Insider Report on KCIW.org. And if you missed any part of this program and you want to check out last week's show, you can catch it by going to KCIW.org and downloading the podcast. Until next week, this is Cousin Bruce Ellis.
And I'm Kat Temple.
Signing off. Keep it real and spread the love and the peace every chance you get. And hey,
we'll see you out there. Bam.
All right.
Music credits for the preceding show go to kciw.org/credits.